Okay, the recorder is on. So, we have looked at subqueries. I assume you're working on the thing from last week. And if you have any questions, probably Thursday would be a good time to get to a point where you've looked it all over and you can ask me some questions on Thursday. Because it doesn't appear that you're there at this point. Okay, so what I've got here is select where I can have a memory variable that it's testing for. So this would mean I could actually have that sentence in the script and run that script, and it would come back and prompt me for something. So I can be prompted for, in this case, a donor ID, and then it will find the match to that donor ID. Okay, so I think I'm going to actually open Oracle. SQL Plus is somewhere in here. There it is. Oops, that's not going to work. Okay, so we're going to try that one more time. Actually, there wasn't. You guys got talking to me too much. Basically. I actually forgot to do this, too. Or I got listening to you too much, or whatever it was. Huh? Yes. Why do I find that easy to believe? Actually, I'm a little harder to distract than some people are. Yep, it's working. Okay, so I can put in here the same thing that I have, select ID number, name, from donor, where ID number equals, and I can make up a name here, so I can call it DID if I want to, or DIDNO, okay, but I put the, and I put the wrong symbol there. I put the ampersand there, and that tells it that it should prompt for the number. So it then goes in and prompts and says, okay, you said you wanted me to compare the ID number, what is it? And I put in something like 12121, and it comes back with Jennifer Ames. Okay. And it shows me the original, and it shows me the replacement, okay? And I like to keep that old and new there. There's a way to get rid of that, and I'm trying to remember what it is, and I'm not remembering. I think it's probably in the notes, so keep your eyes open for them. But I like to keep them there when I'm doing this, because it shows me the original, and it shows me the substitution, so I can see that made the right substitution, and it kind of shows the steps.
And as I said, there's something I can type that will get rid of showing the old and the new. And I can't for the life of me remember what it is. So if anybody sees it in the notes as we're going here.
Set verify off.
Set verify off. Okay, that would be an obvious thing. That. Well, where is it?
It's right in front of my face.
Okay. So if I want to, I can set verify off and get rid of that old and new. Okay. Actually, I'm going to write that up here. And obviously, then if you want to get it back, you can set verify on. Okay? And that would have been an obvious thing to try if we hadn't seen it. Okay. So then you get down, and the next one has playing around with the state. And this one, I'd like you to, if you've got it up, go ahead and play with it. But I start out, and it's the problem is the quotes. If I was working with this number before, I didn't have the quote problem. But now if I want to, say, show me a character field like state, which is an example I did, I've got this problem of I need quotes around state. Okay? And I have two ways of getting it. I can put the quotes around the field so that it knows and that knows it needs quotes, and then let the user type in without quotes, which is my preference. Or I can put it up so that the user has to type in quotes. And if the user is used to doing that, then maybe that's the better way, but I think it's better to not make the user do that. Okay, so on the first one that I did here, I put the quotes in. I think that's the first one. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go in and do that. So I'm going to say select ID number and state and not worry about from donor where state equals. And I'm going to put in state in, is I think what I called it, but it doesn't matter. Okay? Where state equals state in. So it now comes back and says enter the value for state, and I enter MA, and it's just fine. Now, if I were to bring that up and do it again, and I try to put the quotes in, it comes back and yells at me, okay, because I've already got the quotes there. So this said, you can see that it resolved by putting the quotes in, okay? And, I'm sorry, I pointed to the wrong line. It resolved by putting the quotes in. Here it put the quotes in, and it put the quotes that the person put in. So you got the double set of quotes, and it couldn't resolve it. Okay, so if you put it in and left out the quotes, wrong thing to eliminate. Okay, so I've left out the quotes here, and I asked for it, and if I just put in MA, it gives me an error. Okay, and if I run that again, and I put in the quote MA, it says that's fine. Okay, so essentially what you've got here is you've got to make the decision as to which way you're going to go on this. I'm going to try to get that there. You've got to make the decision of which way you're going to go. Are you going to ask the user to type in quotes or not ask the user to type in quotes? And the one thing I would say is I would be consistent. So so that one time they don't have to type in quotes and one time they do, you're guaranteed to get frustration. Okay, so if you put the quotes around the variable, then they don't have to put quotes in. If you don't put quotes around the variable, then they have to put in quotes when they enter the data. Okay? And again, this is a very simplistic thing, so you probably wouldn't do that. You'd probably just type out the whole thing. But you can make scripts that people can run to get things. And you can leave variables in those scripts such that the person has to enter some data. So this could be, you know, the report on states, and the person gets to choose which state they want to do the report on right now. Now, again, you know, usually it's done when there's a lot more complex a select statement that you don't want to have to repeat over and over again, you know, subqueries and queries and a whole lot of more complexity to it. But that shows you the basics of how this works. Okay. So I played around with the MA on this one. Now, with IDs, it's fairly forgiving. So that first one that I did, I put up like this one. So we're going to try that again, where I'm going to say select ID number name from donor, where ID number equals the ID number. Only I'm going to put it in quotes now. And then if I type in the 12121, it was able to do it.
Okay.
And if I did not put the quotes around that, and I typed in the 12121, it gives it to me because there was a numeric field. So if I then do this one again, and I put the 12121, it still does it. So when you're dealing with a numeric, it's terribly forgiving. I can say the thing is going to be in quotes, and when you put the 12, it puts it in quotes. I can say it's not going to be in quotes, and when you put in the same thing, it just shows it not in quotes. Or I can put in the quotes, and it shows it that way. So it's very forgiving when it's a numeric. It can handle a numeric coming in as both character and a number, basically. Okay, so it can handle either one being both character and a number. And on this one, I went in and just handled, put a function in. So I said, where city equals, and I want to change the city to initial cap. Okay? So whatever I type in there, I want to make an initial cap. And the initial cap, if I do that, I usually put it on both sides because I'm not that confident that my data's all been put in correctly. So if I put initial cap on both sides, then I've got the best chances of success as far as I'm concerned. Okay, if I put the initial cap on both sides, because then it takes the data and presents it with an initial cap and compares to what you type in with being changed over to an initial cap. Okay. Now the data happened to have initial caps, so I was all set. But if it didn't, the safest way is to have the initial cap on both sides. And the same with uppercase, lowercase, and all that. And there's that set verify off that I couldn't remember in big letters. So that takes care of that. So I can set verify off, and then I can set verify back on. Okay, you can also ask it to select and let people choose what things they want on this one. So I said select ID number name, and then I'm letting them choose what fields they want. So it says enter the value for first column, and I said city. Enter the value for the next one, I said state. From, and I get to choose what table. Where, and I get to choose a whole condition if I wanted to. I could have a where and only choose the field that I was comparing against, or I can have the whole condition. So if you've got it up, try that one. Try something similar to that. Yeah.
So if we put where and then let them put their conditions, does it need to be like SQL written?
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be SQL written. So if you're dealing with an end user that doesn't know, you would not do that. You would write out the part that said where state equals and then let them choose what state they want. But you wouldn't ask them to write it out. But this is just illustrating that, yes, you can do that. Okay, so if you take this and do what I did, which was select ID number, name, and then I just put in the first column, and then the second column, from table name, where, condition name. And then it starts prompting. So what is the first column? And I said I would take city. And then I would take state. Okay? And then the table name is donor. And my where is where state equals Rhode Island. And error at line 3, missing expression. Okay, where was? Does anybody see what I did wrong? Oh, I put in two ways. Yep. That's what I did. So I'm starting this out again. Select okay, so sooner or later I should be getting a from. I'm giving up. From table name where. And I now have condition name. And so I'm saying city, I'm saying state, I'm saying donor, and I'm saying state equals Rhode Island. And it very nicely, actually, if I was looking at it carefully, I would have noticed that it has a where there, which clearly isn't right. But that's why I like the old and new, even though I didn't pay any attention to it. okay, is that you have the Hoya showing that that's where the problem was. Okay. Now notice this time I am prompting it to type in the names of the columns, so I definitely don't use any quotes involved in those because those are field names. And I wouldn't have typed a field name with quotes around it, and so I don't do it here. So there, in this case, I'm not asking for data on any of this, as in the contents of a field. I'm asking for the field names. In the other ones, I've been asking for data. So you can use it to take in data and take in field names. Okay, so to his point about the Hoya, how could you fix that Hoya so that you are taking in some data for State Equals Rhode Island? Experiment around with that and try coming up with, instead of entering Hoya and print a condition, change this so that they can still pick what state they want, but it's going to be state.
As in...
Or actually, you could actually do it with the where and have two things in there. So I'm putting a where, and I want to try some different combinations of that, so experiment with them for a minute. I did one experiment, but there's a bunch of others you could have done. Yeah.
I just put where and condition equals quote and state quote, and then it'll come up with.
So that sounds like you did basically what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just have to put the state, and then they have to like actually write the state, and then they can type whatever.
State they want, right. Now, interestingly enough, and this is coming up down below, but I'm going to do this now. So I just have the select. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. So we'll just make it. There we go. Good. Okay, so I'm going to say... Actually, I want to take a picture of this before I messed up. Okay, what I did here on this one, and I'm going to first take it up so that the one I messed up on isn't showing. Okay, so what I did here is notice I put a double ampersand up there in the second column. That means it can be reused. That means it holds it. It holds what you typed in there. So then I said, from table name, where second column, and I could have used the double or the single, it doesn't matter at that point, and equals data input. Okay, so then when I got prompted, the key thing here is when I got prompted for the city and then the state, okay, to make up for those two. Then I got prompted for the table name. Then I didn't get prompted for a second column again because it remembered what second column was. So putting that double ampersand there meant that I didn't get prompted for that. It knew that second column meant state, and so it just put in the state. Okay, and I didn't get prompted for it. So that double ampersand means remember this. And it's remembering for the duration of the session. It's not going to, it's a work area, so it goes away when the session goes away. But it's remembering for the duration of the session. Okay. So if I now say define it comes back and tells me the second column is equal to state. So if I put in the defined second column, that tells it it's set up a memory variable, and that memory variable is a character variable with the content of state. Okay? So the double meant that it saves it. Try it. And then if you run another query, after once you've defined it, it's going to be there. Okay, so what did I do wrong? Does anybody see what I did wrong on this one? City, state. So So I've got ID. Oh, I see what I did wrong. I don't have a comma after name. It's as simple as that, I think.
Okay. I said ID, name, and then I went right to the other and I didn't put a comma after name.
Oh, well. So I will try that again. And this time I'm going to put in two ampersands on first column, which I didn't do on the last one, but I'm getting sick of typing this, so. So I'm entering the value for first column, and notice I've got the double ampersand there, which means it sets up the variable and remembers it. Okay, and I still got an error, so where did my error come from this time?
Okay, so we're having debugging time. First column, second column, from, table name.
Oh, yeah, table name, state.
Okay, so I typed in the wrong thing, and I can't find the state. Duh.
Okay. So, we're going to try this one more time. Let's hope. One more time. Okay. Notice that I've been playing around with city and state. And I had put up the $$ there. So it's now at the point that it remembers because I set up the work area. Because I've played with it often enough. It's remembering city and it's remembering state. So the first thing it's actually prompting me for down here is the name of the table, which is donor. And then the data input, which is Rhode Island, or I think I'll put in Mass this time to get more records. And I'm getting the four records.
Okay, so it is remembering $$, first column. So it's not prompting me for that. It's automatically saying I remember what it is, that city, that state. Give me the table name for donor because I never did that with a double ampersand.
And order by first column, and it doesn't have to prompt me for that. So if I say define city, city is now showing up. Okay, so define city, no, it's not showing up because I typed the wrong thing. What did I, should I have said?
State.
Nope, first call.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, first call is defined as city. I typed in define city, it doesn't know what I'm talking about because first column is defined as city. Okay, so I now have got first column defined and I've got second column defined as state. And so I remembered that. And so when I then was prompting it up here, it already knew what first column was, already knew what second column was, and went through that just fine. Okay. Okay, and then these are the examples that I have down here on using the double. But basically, we've already gone through that with the harder examples. Okay, to clear, you use undefined.
So if I use undefined and then went back to that one that I had before, it would have been prompting me for everything because I would undefine them.
And I undefine them individually. Okay. And then there's a little bit more on this. There's an audibly that we did. And so once I've defined it, I can just write it. I can just run it.
So once I have set this up, it's now holding price, and I can just run it as price.
So these examples are much more, we just played around with them a minute ago. Okay, and I can also type in the name and say I want to define something before I've gone to use it. So I can come over here, and it's interesting. If I say define first, it comes back and says it doesn't know what I'm talking about. If I say define first equal to A, B, C, it has now defined it. And it will show me, wait a minute. It shows me the first contains A, B, C. So when I just said define A, B, C, it didn't do anything. When I said define first, it gave me define first as A, B, C, and it gave it to me. Okay. So when I said, wait a minute, I'm pointing to the wrong thing. If I define first, it gave me an error. When I said define first equal A, B, C, it came back and just said it was defined. And then when I come down and say, show me define first, it comes back with A, B, C. When I typed in define ABC, it came back with nothing because I made another mistake. ABC was the content, not the name of the field. I did that on purpose, right? Right. Down here, they go through and accept. You can actually go in and take in data. And there's the example down here. I can say accept, and I made up a name here, and I called it a number. So accept lets me, if you notice, all the things I've been defining up until now have been kind of the character, which is character can hold numbers and letters and anything it wants. But with the except, I get to specify that it is a number. And I also get to give it a more meaningful prompt.
So I said here except, and I put in the name of a field and said that will be a number. And then I said format, the prompt will be to enter it.
Okay, and so it now comes down and I run that SQL statement and I put in 25 and it then defined new reorder point as 25. Then I said, okay, now show me everything from inventory where the reorder point is greater than or equal to the new reorder point. and it showed me everything where the reorder point was greater than 25. And you can see there, greater than or equal to 25, actually. This is a 25 showing. Okay. So donor has what, a year goal on it? Because I'm not sure whether I have this inventory table or not. ESC Inven. Apparently I do. So I can try this one. Accept new reord point, make it a number. Give it a prompt, which is enter reorder point to compare against. Okay, so it comes back with my prompt. I put in 25. And notice that when I did it over here, I very nicely left a space in the prompt. When I did it here, I didn't leave a space in the prompt, so the number is right up against the prompt. So I did it better, obviously, on the other one. And then I can say define, just to prove that it's there, new reord point. And it's there, it's a number, and it's 25. And then I can do my select asterisk from Inven, where reorder point, which is the field on the table, is greater than or equal to new reorder point. Okay, and I can't spell. So this one should have been reord point, right? Okay, and so I'm seeing all of those where the reorder point is greater than 25 or equal to 25. So the advantage of the accept is the accept gives you more flexibility in that it gives you a prompt and it gives you a ability to make something a number as opposed to a character. And that wraps that up. Questions? Questions? Okay. The next thing is table maintenance revisited. I just hit the PowerPoint. I didn't mean to do that. The PowerPoint is there for you. I didn't mean to do that. I'm hitting the numbers. Okay, some of this we've hit as we've gone through stuff. That's just showing the data. And then you can do the insert a variety of ways. Okay, the classic way we've done the insert is shown here. But if you have something that you want to be null, you can put in the word null, and that will leave it blank. And the system date will get the date of the system and put the system date in. Okay? So I can grab the system date and say I want to add something that is a baby doll and is 12, and this is the system date, and I don't want anything under the other two fields.
And so I grabbed and it put in the system date, which is the date that I did it on.
Okay, and as I said, SQL is a wonderful world. It hasn't changed in...
almost 20 years.
Yes. You know, I literally did these notes way back when, and it just hasn't changed. They still work. They add a few things here and there, and we get into them, but it really is very much the same. Okay, so if I want to have an insert that makes my life easy and I'm trying to do a table, I can set up an insert that takes in all of those variable names. And then if I just execute that command again, it will prompt me for all the values. So I can turn that into a script, okay, just by writing it as a script. And then I can execute it, and it will come back and ask me for each thing. So I can go in and type the data in like that, as opposed to doing the insert command over and over again. Okay, so if you want to write a table that's going to have a whole lot of records, that's a good way of doing it, is just to set up the insert and just keep executing it. And I can put that insert on one line and just do it that way, or I can set up a script to do it. Okay. I can take rows from another table, and we've talked about that before with the creating backup. But this one says create a table and now just take those fields. Okay, so I'm taking a table and saying create the table, move main, and I want those fields. Okay, now what happened on this one is that I have a table called move main. Okay, so I said first create the table called move main. So I created that.
And that table has an item number, an item name, a cost, and a price. Now I've already got a field called maintain, a table called maintain, and it's got six fields in it. I only want to have the item number, item name, cost, and price. I don't want to take over the purchased, and I don't want to take over the department. So I go down here and I say insert into move main, and this is where I actually do the work. Insert into move main, select ID number, item name, price, and cost, where price is greater than 15. So I am creating a table with just a certain few things. Now, what did I do wrong in doing this?
Well, dump truck is $14.36 the cost. We only want above. There's no table except for a table, no?
No, it's not. It's not that I did something when in the insert, my insert statement itself, I made a mistake.
It's a subtle mistake, but I made a mistake. I said insert into move main, and then I said select ID number, item name, price, and cost from maintain, where price is greater than 15. The problem is that when I did the insert, I insert in the order that I list them here. But if you look at the table, I listed cost before price. So I now have something that cost me $20 that I'm willing to sell for $18, and something that cost me $15.95 that I'm willing to sell for $14.36.
It's on clearance.
That's right. Clearly. Very much on clearance. I'm making a loss every time they sell these things.
So my problem is that the price went into the cost, and the cost went into the price. Okay? And those lines didn't draw very well, so I think I'll make them go away and do them in my pen at home. But anyway, that's why I do the orient at the beginning. It's supposed to then orient the lines so they actually follow the right thing. Whatever. But anyway, so I ended up saying, take the ID number and put it in item number. Take item name, put it in there. Take the price, and it goes into cost. Take the cost, and it goes into price. And if I ever did that, I'd probably be fired. Because I just made it so that the company is going to lose a heck of a lot of money. Okay? And I left that because I think it makes the point better than doing it right. Okay? Now I can also do insert into move main, and I can put the fields that I want. And here I specified the fields, so I said insert into move main, item number, item name, and price. I actually want to make sure I take a picture of that. And so I'm saying insert into move main, and I want to insert it into those three fields. And what I want to do is select those three fields. Okay? So I'm selecting those three fields from maintain and putting them into move main. And then I went back and did an alter and added a department in. And then I did an update that has a subquery in it, basically. So I said, update, set the item department equal to, okay, what do I want to set it equal to? Go and do a select, and select the department from maintain where the ID number is equal to 123. Okay. So I'm saying update move main, set the item department equal to whatever department I got. So I'm now setting the department equal to TY. Because when I went and got it, I got a TY, and that is being put in there in item 234. So I went to department. I got an ID number on department for the ID number 123, and I'm setting the department number on 234 equal to that TY. Okay. So I went to a different table, found ID 123, took the department number it head, and said, okay, now set item department in the move main table for the record 234 to have that department. Does that make sense? You're all kind of staring at it with that, huh, look on your faces.
Stronger.
What did you say? What's making you stronger?
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
You're getting very strong today. You still seem to be alive. Okay. And then I did it again down here where I went in and changed the items for 456 so that it now has a department. Yes, no, maybe. Okay, if I asked you to explain this, could you do it?
I just figured it out. I was still looking at TY.
Okay, TY is clearly the department it selected. So it says go to maintain. Look at the department field on record 123. Okay, and the department field on record 123 apparently had a TY in it. So then I say, okay, now update move main, which is down here. Set the item department equal to the TY that you just got for record 234. Okay. Would somebody look like that makes sense? Or ask a question? Those are your two choices.
I just found the syntax we were looking at, so it's all right. I'm just kind of catching on now. I'm not going to lie. I was lost for a little bit, but I think I see a little bit now.
Okay. Anybody else not want to lie?
You know how, like, in school, when the teacher's like, all right, now you continue reading along. Like, I was like the kid that just was like, what page are you on? I didn't know where I was at. Like,
I know some other kids like that. Oh, well. Okay, and there's the records for maintain, so you can actually see it if you scroll down there. So again, I said go and get the item department. I mean the department, right? Is the department from maintain. Okay. And it was the TY. That was from Move Main. The one above said maintain, didn't it? Yes. I thought it was going nuts there for a minute. Okay. So you can see looking down here that ID number 123 indeed had a TY in there when you went to maintain, and that was where the TY came from. And in the second one, I did the same thing, but I hadn't noticed that it's a from move main. So I'm going to move main and finding the record 234 and assigning it also to 456. So I'm going to move main, finding the TY that goes to 234 and then assigning it to 456. Why the 456 down there picks up the TY. Okay, the delete is one of those scary commands and is why you back things up. One of the reasons why you back things up, because you don't want to lose all the records. Okay? So you've got the delete. And the delete from maintain, where cost is less than 8, is going to take all of the things where the cost is less than 8 out. Where did that go? I don't like having that over there. Okay, so I deleted a row, and it's the delete from maintain, and I can put a where clause on it. Okay. Okay, the commit statements commits what you have done in the database, and that's why I told you in the first class that when you put the inserts in, do the commit. Okay. As I said, for some reason I don't have the problem with it, but other people do. If I forget to do the commit, it's still there when I go back in mine that I've set up at home. But if I am on PuTTY, I can still lose it the way you guys do.
So if you delete a record like that before, right, if you use the rollback, will it bring back?
Yes, if you haven't committed it already.
As long as you don't commit it. Once you commit it, then it's,
yep,
you can't get it back.
That's right. So be careful about that. So commit, complete, rollback, complete. If I have done a delete down here, which is where I did it, I said delete from maintain, where ID is equal to, and again, I've got a subquery there. So I went out to move main. I looked for item name equal to blocks, and I took that item number. And I'm deleting that particular item. Okay. So I complete it, and then I say rollback, and it rolls it back. Okay. So you can see that I got rid of a record, and now I've rolled it back. I got rid of the record blocks, and now I've rolled it back. Okay. So it's back there, but if I hit commit, I'm in trouble. Okay, so I roll it back and it's there. Now, one of the things you can do is if you do a rollback, you roll back a gazillion things if you've done a gazillion things. So what you want to do is if you're doing something with some deletes and things and updates and you want to be able to roll those back, you put in a save point. Okay, and the save point is down here. So I put in a save point, and then when I roll back to that save point. So if I had done this much work, but I put the save point here, I'm only rolling back to the save point. I'm not rolling back all the things I did before that.
You're referring to just another commit.
Pardon?
Are you just referring to a strategically placed commit? No,
I'm a strategically placed save point. So I put the
save point in.
Right. And I said, the save point is here. Now I'm doing a delete. I changed my mind about the delete. I roll back to the save point. Okay, I'm rolling back to the save point, which means all the stuff I did above is not going to be touched. I'm just rolling back to that save point, and the only thing that I did was the delete, and so after I did the rollback, the delete is back. I think the record I deleted is back.
So save it before you start deleting stuff.
That's right. But also set up the save point so that you can roll back to that spot.
So this might be a very simple question, but the save point where it says date, update,
yep.
It's like a comma, or what is it?
No, I just made up a name.
Okay, so it would be the actual table?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just said, put a save point in, and so it will... I said, okay, set up the save point, and it sets up the save point. Then I said, okay, do a delete, and you can see that when I did the delete, I've lost a record, whatever record it was, because I'm down to 4. And then I said, roll back to this point. Well, the only thing I did between these two is the delete. So the delete gets rolled back, as in it's as if it never happened. I'm now back to having the 5 records.
Does the computer know if you have multiple save points if you put...
If you put, as long as you put different names in them.
For each one,
you yep, you can roll back to different ones, yes.
As long as you don't put commit in, because once that element
right.
resolved.
That's right. Once you put the commit in, well, I don't know, is it erases it? It just doesn't make them work right.
I thought you'd go on.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay, actually, we're done anyway. Because it's only a few minutes and I'm... Continuation we'll look at next time. Because I think that's got a bunch of stuff in it. Yeah.
See you Thursday.
I don't want to go there. So we will pick that up.